This is an incredibly difficult parsha, and would it really change the whole complexion of the parsha, at least according to Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. Rashi brings that the reason that the story of Dinah happened because Yaakov refused to give her to Esav, Dinah to Esav, lest she could be machzer him lamutav. Okay, just to you understand, he wasn't supposed to give her to him before it was clearly on the path of being machzer lamutav. You know, obligation to give your to get your daughter, make her irreligious, and to give her to a rush. It means he would have started on the path of being machzer lamutav and then continue. That's what that has to be the pshat. Well, it's a terrible tragedy was. She fell in the hands of Shechem. Shechem was already in the path of being machzer lamutav. He undertook bris milah, but much more than that. I mean, mamish, much more than that. Chazal tell us the three emotions the Torah describes, the Medrash Rabbah here, the three emotions the Torah describes regarding Shechem's feeling for Dinah corresponds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feeling of Klal Yisrael. Cheshek, well, first one is Vatibak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dovuk in us. Cheshek, Hashem is Lo Mirubchem Choshak, same word. And Chafetz, those three words it says on HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaychus to Klal Yisrael. So it's certainly telling us, in the very least, that Shechem had a huge hasoga in who Dinah was. Incredible. These are the words, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Klal Yisrael. And this is what Shechem saw in Dinah. He's willing to be Mekabel Geirus. I mean, the Mila surely Geirus. And therefore, how do we begin to understand this halacha? If the problem was not, the only problem of Esav was because, if Esav was a problem because Yaakov didn't make an effort to have Dinah be machzer lamutav, so here then Shechem should have been included in Klal Yisrael. What are we killing him for? Shechem is the example of somebody who would be an appropriate mate. If Esav could be an appropriate mate, that's what Chazal was saying. Esav is appropriate, maybe not today, but somewhere down the line, Esav is appropriate. As soon as he makes the steps in the right direction, Shechem is already there, so Shechem should not have been murdered. Also, the whole idea of killing Shechem is a little bit unbelievable. The Rambam justifies this because since they failed to do Dinim, the city of Shechem, Shechem himself was a Goslin, the rapist. So he has a capital obligation to be killed. Everybody else failed to prosecute him, and that, according to the Rambam, is also a capital offense. Let's talk about that itself. The halacha clear, halacha psuka, that a guy who does a, let's say he robs when he's a guy, and then he converts, is not killed. Ishtani dina. So what really is the big problem over here? He's converting. There's no reason to kill him anymore. And it's clear that the two ones who wiped them out actually held that there was a real din of Ben Yisrael already. It wasn't just they adopted some of the chumras of the Jewish people, they adopted the kulah, Shimon and Levi, in next week's parsha, eat Aver Min Achai. And the only reason, and that the Rishonim say, the reason they ate Aver Min Achai is they ate him at Farcheses. They ate from animals, the brothers ate from animals that were slaughtered. Under Noahide laws, that's a capital offense. That's Aver Min Achai. Under Jewish law, Shechit is Mater. Therefore, they were noig like Jews, the kulah. So it means that he can't be a Jew unless there's some form of conversion. They're Jewish, but then people are joining being Jewish. So it should be Ishtani Dina, and nothing should happen to them. Also, it's a little bit unbelievable that if, in fact, they were allowed to kill, Chazal calls them, and I'll bring the Chazal later, brings, based on the Pasuk, Chayas Asad, Yirmus. These are the highest of the field. That's not a very complimentary characterization of Shimon and Levi. Chayas. Chayas Asod. It's very, the chur, the pasuk is stigmatizing them to some extent. If what they do is correct, what's the stigma over there? How does Shimon and Levi do something so serious? In the story itself, let me start with one last kasha. The Ramban asks, or just, he's Deicher Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. The pasuk says, Vayishkav osa vayaneho. He abused her. So Rashi says, that was Biyashaloka Darka. The Ibn Ezra says, she was a young girl, and therefore she's a psul, and therefore it was an inui. The Ramban said, what are you talking about? Any Biya Ba'onis is inui. Anytime your man is somebody, it's inui. And he brings a raya from Yefas Toar. He brings a raya from the story of Pelegish Begiva. I mean, he's mechayla. But the real kasha here is, no matter who cares what he did, we have enough reason to kill him for the regular biya. So why is the Torah, what, we think of more schmutz what he did? Who cares about Shechem? What is the Torah telling us over here? Furthermore, this doesn't fit the pathology of rape, bechlau. Rape is a crime of violence. And as soon as you're finished, what do you throw in the garbage can? Horayah, Tamar, and Amnon. They're already holy people. Amnon throws her away. These are holy people. You can tell me he raped her? The whole story. I got to marry her. Is the Torah only talking about the delusions of what he imagined? So these are that he imagined Batid Bagnafsha? It wasn't true at all? And if that's not true, how do we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the same feelings? That's the narrator talking Batid Bagnafsha, not him saying that, but the narrator is talking about that. This is like unbelievable. The whole story doesn't mean, that's not what happens. You throw her out in the garbage. What's the shot over here? To start with, don't you read over Medrash. We'll work it from here on. The Medrash brings a pasuk in Melachim that says like this. Achoach Asher Balvonon, the thorn in Levonon, sent a message or sent to the Eretz, sent to the cedar. Who's the thorn? That's Hamor, the father of Shechem. Who's the Eretz? Is Yaakov. Give me your daughter for my son for a wife. Shechem b'ni choshke nafshe b'vitchem. That's a little funny. I mean, the sell to Yaakov Avinu is, he's lusting after her. Very mud in the way of, and then it's like this. Vatavar chayos hasod vatirmos. That's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Melachim. Chayos hasod Shechem is Shimon and Levi. Chayos hasod. Then it ends. And then what did they do? As chamor v'shchem harogu. Mi garam? Who caused it? Teitzei dina basleid. Mi garam? We need the Medrash to tell us, in case you don't know the storyline. What's the Medrash talking about here? I think the first starting point in anything is to realize that there's a rape that's forcible, and there's a rape that's consensual relations, but there's a threat of death behind. Achashverus raped, physically forced Esther. Gemara says she was an anusa. She was mutter to Mordechai. Didn't force her. He's the king. And if you don't go along with the king, he kills you. You don't have to forcibly resist him. He could kill you for that also. Not mechuyev to force. No. Onus does not mean physical force. Onus means there's an impending threat of death. He's Nasi Oretz, powerful parent. You don't listen to him, you're going to get killed. You're going to get killed. But there was no rape whatsoever here. It was not a physical rape at all. Therefore, I mean, it's clear that's what Rashi, and at least the Rashi of the Ibn Ezra. Vayanel can't mean that she had the inui of the biya, as he says, any biya ba'onis is considered an inui, and he brings a raya from Yefas Toyer, you have a right to rape. You don't have a right to threaten to kill her because you're not allowed to kill her. She's a shvui, you're not allowed to kill her. We're not talking about where there's a dinner, we're talking about the opposite, where there is no lo sechaya kol neshama. You're not allowed to kill her. So there, all you can do is force her. if he doesn't want you, force her. Pelegish Begiva was avad of that. Has no shaychus. Rashi says, and Ibn Ezra learning the pshat here is, that it was berotzen. Total rotzen. In fact, the saying is like this. He takes her. He's the king. He sits and talks to her for a couple of hours. Because if it would be forced, he would throw her in the garbage can afterwards. And he sat and talked to her. And then he becomes astounded by her character. He becomes astounded by her understanding of philosophy and truth. He becomes astounded by her ability to understand other human beings. It's Dina Bas Yaakov, an astounding young woman. And he's astounded. He's impressed beyond measure. I don't know, he spoke to her for an hour, 2 hours, cocktail. I don't know what it was, but it was hours. Enough that the Torah is made that he had an enormous insight into her. He had an enormous insight into her. And then he had relations with her. We'll explain what the union was to answer Rashi. And then he says he wants to marry her. It's not because she wasn't the victim of his coercion. They had a relationship. She answered him like a man. She spoke to her. Who knows? And for sure, then that there's no din of not doing that on her. And Mamela, he actually was Vatidbuk Nafsha. He had an enormous insight into her. Incredible insight. Therefore, everything is 100% true here. And then Torah is made. And that's what the narrator says, Vatidbuk. And then the father says, Choshka. And then later on, he had chafetz. The three words that Kodesh Baruch Hu has regarding us. He had this incredible, he understood who Dina was. What's wrong? He's a guy we should embrace him. Oh, good, he has to be Megayer. He's willing to do that. So let me first explain. Actually, there's two other words in the Pasuk. And there's the first Mandomer says three things. The other Mandomer says there are five qualities here. He loved her. That's one thing. And he spoke to her, which is also by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first Mandomer says there was only three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he did, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, and brings psukim for all three. For Dveikus, Cheshek, and Chafetz. But there's two other things. Vayava, he loved her. Next thing, and he spoke to her. So therefore, there's two more, and the other mandam brings Psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daber Alev Yerushalayim, and he loves us. And therefore, what's the first one? What's the discussion here? The Pasuk says five. And there's five things he does, and it only says three of the five. It means this doesn't seem to make much sense. Here comes the most, I think, shundik insight over here. Let's define the three terms. What does it mean? In every relationship, there's actually three possibilities in every relationship of closeness. Two people get involved in a relationship. It's possible that they will merge into one entity. Another possibility is that one will take over the other, right? And the other possibility, the other one will take over this one. There's three possibilities in every relationship. You can have a merger, which is a very complicated thing even to define a merger, and how do you create a merger? Merging means you two become one, and in that oneness, they really share. It's not a takeover, or there's a takeover, and it's a very fine line. Who's taking over? These three words are humble. Let's go through the three words. The word Vatidbak. What's the Pasuk say? Vatidbak Nafsho Bedina. His heart is attached to Dina. So who's the Iker there? Who's the Iker? Dina. Okay. Next word is Cheshek. The word Cheshek appears a number of times in the Torah, as in Parshas Truma, is the next time the word Cheshek appears. The Chashukim, and Rashi says the Chashukim, they're strands of gold or silver around the Amudei HaChatzer, which means, Cheshek means I'm attaching myself to the Amudim. In the relationship of Cheshek, who's the Iker? The Amudim. He has cheshek, means again, he is making himself bottle to Dina. The third word, I think there's no other way to read. What does it mean? It should say Chafetz Bas Yaakov. What do you mean Chafetz Bibas Yaakov? I think probably the right way to read the Pasuk is he made himself a Chafetz in relationship to Bas Yaakov. Chafetz means, the word Chafetz means desire. It also means Chafetz means an object. It could be one of two things. I can try and objectify the other person, make them an object, or kalapi the other person, I make myself an object. Chayfetz bibas Yaakov means he's making himself an object to Dina. So all three here show an incredible amount of understanding and the merit that halavai I should be zeichet to have some relationship with Dina. That's the posture, the way the Torah, the narrator is talking, and that's what the Torah is telling us. The other two words in the Torah, vayehavah, love, that could be either way. That word itself could mean either way. Right? Love can be a takeover feeling, too. So that word, that depends on the particular circle. But the word itself doesn't say anything miraculous about him. The other word, which is speak, you know, the word speak in Hebrew is also, the word take is also called kach. Right? Kach is with Dibur. It can be a takeover, too. So those, therefore, the first mandam says those two words are not clear 100% that we're talking about what the nature of the relationship is. It could be a merger, it could be even a takeover, which would not be healthy. These three words is words clearly he's making himself tuffle to her. And by the way, it comes out of, if we're right, an unbelievable chiddush in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to us. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the relationship of Avatas, makes himself subservient to us. He wants to be connected. He gives us the feeling he wants to be connected to us. Not that he's giving us the opportunity to be connected to him. He gives us the feeling. Of course, the real feeling of real love is to give the other person the feeling that you want to be connected to them. And that's, as Chazal tells us, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we're learning a huge insight into Kaviyochu. He gives us the feeling that it's his privilege to have a shaychus with us. Everything's unbelievable. This is unbelievable. He's straight on the world to be accepted in Klal Yisrael, married Dean. Everything is perfect. Except, was this real? Or was this not real? We have another thing that Rashi points out. When Shechem and Hamor talk to Yaakov and his sons, they say the following thing. You will give us your daughters, you control. You will take our daughters, you're in control. That means, who's the most important? Yaakov and his sons. That's what Rashi points out. And when Yaakov met with them, exactly the same, the same conversation, Yaakov says, reiterates, we will take your daughters, and we will give you ours. Which means, there was a whole discussion, who the Iker is, Klal Yisrael, the Iker is this, and they will have the privilege of becoming an Am Echad, but to be merged into Klal Yisrael. But we then discovered something. It wasn't true. Because when they tell their own people, they switch it. That's what I'm saying. The Pasuk is not just telling us, Narish guy, by the way, that they switch it. He says to his own people, we will take their daughters and we will give them our daughters. That means we're the Iker. So it comes out like this. Now comes an unbelievable thing. If you don't mean sincerely what you're doing, what are you doing? What are you doing? What need is that to tell a person how terrific and spectacular and everything else? For what purpose? You don't mean it at all. For what purpose? Flattery, right? That's for sure. What's the word of flattery? Giving a person, flattering a person means at the end of the day, well, I'll show you from Chazal, it means this, the end of the day, you hope that they will get addicted to your flattery, and then you own them. It's like an addiction. When someone gives you flattery, it tells you how wonderful you are, they become your lifeline, and then you owe them. And that's what Chazal say. Whoever does flattery, lipsof nofo, so I'm saying flattery is in order to take somebody over. The ultimate way of taking somebody over is by flattering them, because they just can't, they need you. So you're their lifeline, their addiction. And therefore, and that was your motivation of a flatterer. And the einish of a flatterer is that he falls into the hands of the flattery, falls into the hands of the flatterer. That's the Gemara says. And then the Gemara goes even lighter. And if not to his hands, to the hands of his son. And if not in his hands of his son, the hands of his grandson. So you understand how insidious and how vicious it is to do that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that you're going to be taken over. Flattery is in order to take over somebody. At the end of the day, I don't know, they might have gotten wind of that conversation, I'm not sure. But one thing we do know, the Torah tells us, on the third day, it's just hard to read the, you know, after I realized, it's, you know, I've been reading the Pasuk all the years, I didn't really hear what the Pasuk was saying. So the Pasuk is like, V'hi b'yom ha'shlish, b'yosim ko'avim, v'yikru shnei b'nei yaku shim, what does v'yosim ko'avim mean? They're in pain. Person's in pain. And somebody, unless the word pain doesn't mean debilitated, pain is pain. And somebody comes in to kill you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get up and kill them because it's a great distraction from pain. The best thing you can do for pain is to focus on something else. How could the Pasuk be saying they're in pain? It doesn't make any sense. Right? The Pasuk should say they're chaloshim. That word appears in the Torah. They're weak. Bioma. It's not the pain, it's the weakness of the, it's not the pain, it's the weakness of an operation is what is the problem. Not the pain isn't the problem. Pain is a good solution for pain is to get your mind on totally something else and you forget the pain. We all know that. So what's the pshat here? They're in pain. They're in the pain of being mole, not the pain of the circumcision, the pain that they committed themselves to going through this because they never wanted to become Jewish. They were whole trying to take over the Jews. So now it comes out they had to go through this ritual to take them over. The ka'ev here is not the ka'ev of the physical ka'ev. It's the emotional ka'ev of doing something that was you didn't really want to do. It was just a means to an end. And it's painful. That's a big pain. I got myself pain when I never wanted to do this, because all I'm doing is figuring out how to take over. So that's when Shimon and Levi start acting. We'll come back to them. But just, you know, Chazal still learn how that on the third day, you're weaker. But they don't learn that out from the word kaven. They learn it out from the word b'yom ha'shlishi. What did they wait till the third day for? You don't have to, whether kaven or not, what did they wait till the third day? They could have done it on the first day. There it says, you're weaker on the third day. You could even say another deheronis. That'll work according to the Rambam. That you're weaker on the third, you're weaker on the third day than on the first day. Rashi Sheet in Shabbos is not like that. Rashi Sheet is you're weakest on the first day. Maybe the third day you're also weak. That's what he learns. Marchitz, and you can wash the tinok even on the third day. So what did they wait till the third day for? Teretz says for a person to undergo an experience and to internalize the experience, it takes 3 days. We have that. Chazal say you have to be 3 days without a bris, actually without Torah, is can't be. 2 days you can be. 1 day means anything you can do without three. It takes 3 days that you internalize the feeling. I can be without learning, and therefore amdu neviim shabayis sador, and they were masakin the kriyas haTorah has to be all 3 days. They waited the 3 days to see how they were going to eat the bris. How they were going to eat this experience of being a mole, that's what took 3 days, according to Rashi. They're not going to go in there and kill them because they're vulnerable. They want to be 100% sure before they touch them to make sure what? to make sure they really don't want this bris. That's the simplest pshat in the pasuk. I mean, according to Rashi, it's hard to learn any other way. There's certainly no reason to wait the third day. So the third day was the way of Shimon and Levi measuring, because if it's geirus, they're free. Ishtane dina. If it was not geirus, then the din remains. The din of geirus is really not accepting 613 mitzvahs. You go through the Rashi's and Yevamah's clear. The main din of Geirus is, I want to join the Jewish people. In fact, Rashi says, V'halavai, I should be zoiche to join in their suffering. Geirus means I'm a geir to, I'm not saying there's not a Kabbalah of mitzvahs, but it's joining the Jewish people. I want to become part of them. I want to share in their sorrow. V'halavai, as Rashi's Lashon Mem Zayin, halavai, I should merit to share in their suffering. I want to become a member of the Jewish people. Hear that they want to just the most. They only gave lip service to that, and they really want to take the Jewish people over. That's the opposite of geirus. That's the simple pshat in the story, I think. Man, now we have a Mishundik insight. What's our Akashi over here? Akashi here is, he's an unbelievable, he's still a good guy. You can still work with him. Dina can work with Esav, but she can't work with Shem, who's much later. Esav always fights. Fight, and he's going to prove to you he's stronger. I outsmarted you. That's stronger. Even Lovin will never say anything that's not true. There's no sheker by Lovin. He knows how to leave out certain things, but there's no sheker. Your misimpression based on what he said, that's not a sheker. That's the chachma of a rami. A rami, he never can nail a rami. It's always Lovin. It's always white. It's clear. He always has... I said Rochel? Did I say it was the youngest Rochel? Whatever. I'm going to give you Rochel. Did I say she'd be number one? I'm not backing out from her. Of course I'm going to give you Rochel. But I never said you're not going to get Leah first. He never says a lie. I mean, that's not, lying is despicable. Ramos means I'm smarter. The same word in Hebrew means Chochmah and Ramos, because I'm outsmarted you. That's really what it is. The Gemara says, "Miyoyim shegavra egrof ha'achanufim is botl dina isu adin nisafsu adinim." That when there is chanif in the world, that corrupts din, because din means you get what you deserve. The whole word of chanif is you create a reality that's totally false. You're not getting what you deserve. I am creating a false reality for you. I'm creating a false impression for you. I'm giving you a feeling of something that's totally not true. It's not true. It's not true. I am not interested in being connected to you. I see your tremendous milus, but I know that if I keep on saying as if I want to be connected to you, at the end of the day, I'll be able to take you over. Esav Dina can handle Esav, but Miyom Shinis Rabba Shin Govra the Egrof of Chanufa Nisavu Hadina. Dina can't handle that. Dina is somebody who can deal with a person straight. That's what her name is. She can deal straight with a person, no matter how tough the adversary is, the adversity. Yaakov Avinu, maybe with his assistance, she can handle an Esav. Straight. Esav is very straight. He's smarter than me, and therefore I got to worry about things that I take misperceptions from what he said, but he never says a lie. Shem is a chaynef, and that Dina can't handle. That must be what the Torah is telling us. She fell in the because she didn't take somebody who she could have had a relationship with. She fell in the hands of someone she couldn't have had a relationship. Akash was, you have to understand who he is and who he is. Now it's time just to get a little bit, someone answer one or two kashas we asked. What do we have to know Vayan Neho for? Well, who cares about that? You have enough basis to that the city's Chayav Misa. He's very smart. What does he want? He wants to take her over, right? But he has a very interesting and very smart thing to do also. In every relationship, most people get into a relationship if it's shove b'shove. Me, it's good for me, it's good for you. Right? The Gemara says that b'ya shaloka darka is pain for the woman. Not for the man, it's pain for her. Is she willing to take pain for me? That's the type of girl he's looking for. That's a test. That's a test. He wants to know whether or not she will be involved in a relationship where it's only good for him and not for her. A lot of people will be involved in relationships if it's good for both of us. But if, what about if it's good only for one side and the other side it's painful, will they participate because they know what it means to the other side? That's a very high madriga. The Torah, and remember saying, the Torah is telling us that's what he was checking out. And therefore, this is all part of his getting an enormous appreciation of Dina. We're not interested here in telling us his other Averis. Who cares about his private Averis? It's irrelevant to us. In fact, it's rather disgusting. If you look at the Torah's telling us this, why is the Torah? That's the way the question should be asked. What are we talking about? What are we talking about over here? It's like pandering to some out of prurient interest here. What's the pshat here? The Torah is giving us an enormous insight into what he's looking for. And also now it comes out that if that's who Din is, you understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu is also willing to be in a relationship with us that sometimes is good for us and it's painful for him. Okay, so I think we went through so far the storyline into the kasha of this. And then this is obvious. The main kasha is this: not the pathology. Tamar and Amnon was a physical force. Physical force. Afterwards, you get rid of the person. That's the pathology of a rape. You throw the person in the garbage can. Here we're not talking about that. We're talking about a relationship. The relationship itself is a normal relationship. It's just that there's a backdrop of implied you'll be killed. That's, by the way, the only way to understand Achashverosh. Every single night has a different woman. But Yahweh, he loves her. Well, wait a minute. What did he love her? She's an anus. He raped her. It's also not a rape. It's a huge mistake. He wasn't. The reason she's an anus is because if she doesn't listen to him, he's going to kill her. Not because he forced her. Therefore, the Torah can say, Vayavel. That, remember, that the narrator is saying. Torah is made. He loved her. What? You force somebody, you love them, what do you love them? You debase them, and you violated them as a person, you made them into an object of your gratification, you love them? That's love, that's what Torah say. That's he loved her. Torah's saying, Vayaveha was because he had a relationship with her. Also now we get a whole new understanding of, imagine a relationship with somebody, they don't tell you who they're from and who their parents are. And a rape, that's not very important. Believe me, it doesn't have any, he's not interested, who cares? Mordechai every day, who cares? He's not going to be asking that question. What? Who cares? She's not a person to him, she's an object. And Terry says, it's not that way at all. When it's an implied threat, it's a relationship. Okay, now we would like to know, what is Shimon and Levi getting involved here, and what are they doing, and what is Yaakov so incensed about, and what are Chazal calling them chayas? The Rambam says a very interesting thing here. The Rambam says that Shimon and Levi killed the city of Shechem because why? Because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim, that he's a goslin, a rapist, and therefore he's supposed to be killed, and they didn't react to his sin, and therefore they're all chayav misa, for not fulfilling dinim. So the Ramban asks, he says, that's not true. It's only, you're only chayav for dinim, you're only chayav for misa under the Noahide laws when you do something wrong. But when you fail to do something, that's not a capital case. And he brings a right. That's the language of the Gemara. A failure to do is not dinim. Therefore, he says a different pshat. Pshat in the Rambam is like this. The Rambam agrees 100% with the Ramban. Failure to do a mitzvah is not a capital crime. However, dinim is not failure to do a mitzvah. Why? It's not failure. It's not a failure to prosecute. But listen to the Lashon of the Rambam. The last halacha in Perek Tes in Hilchos Melachim. Ketzad hei mitzuvin al adinim. What is their the commandment of dinim? They have to set up a judicial system. So that's failure to do that's in it. In every city, every county. Then he adds the words, ulahazhir es ha'am. And to create a climate of law and order. That's their din. What the Rambam is saying is like this, that if you don't prosecute a person, you have trampled on the principle of law and order. That's not it's not the failure to kill, which is the punishment, because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of killing. It's that by not reacting to crime and allowing it to be a lawless society, that is trampling on their obligation to make it a create law and order. He says, there has to be a climate of, and the court is trampling on that. That's not fit. They're being killed, not for the failure to kill, but for the creating a atmosphere of license to do whatever you want. You instead of that thing should be forbidden, you gave a license to do. Okay, but so what? So what? Now, what does that help? What about if instead of killing them, they give malchus to every single one of them? They have not violated they have not done a kum vase, they have not undermined the law and have not given a law. Every guy got beaten up. Maybe even, today we know how to beat up people. They beat them up over there. They took them and beat up everybody in town. And then they take all their money. They don't kill anybody. They beat them up, take their money. Is that a violation? So now, what have they not done now? Have they trampled on the din of dinim? No. They failed to do what? What they failed to do? They failed to be mekayim the mitzvah's essay of cherif, of killing somebody. Mrs. S. of Cherev. How much is a person obligated to go out of his way to do a mitzvah sesa? A Jew, what's a Jew have to do? A third of your money. You think the fact that you might be in some kind of compromising situation that people may come and attack you, would you give a third of your money that you shouldn't find yourself? Of course, you give more than a third of your money. Therefore, in that, they were putter. They didn't have to kill. 100% they didn't have to kill. They would not have violated dinim, and they didn't have to kill. That's what Yaakov Avinu was saying to them. What are you doing? What are you doing? Here he says, there's some danger here. You're putting ourselves in danger. And probably even Rashi says, they were betuach b'koyach shel zaken, will win the war. But putting yourself into a war is, would a person, intelligent person, would pay a third of his money not to be involved in a war? Of course. And therefore, there were potter from this. They had no chiyuv to kill him. The only chiyuv they had to do was make a response. Because if you don't make a response, that's trampling on the mitzvah. The failure to do the mitzvah of execution is not a capital crime. It's only a mitzvah, digadin. Can't be more obligated than a Jew, and a third of your money or the equivalent. So why did they do it? Chazal, they were chayas sasoda. The survival of the fittest. They had some instinct. Believe me, the Pusik says that. I'm not about to say anything about Shimon and Levi. The Shimon and Levi, they're called Chayas. Their natural instinct is you eat something. But it wasn't required. The Pusik is castigating them for this. They're Chayas Asada. I'm saying probably that Yaakovin was pretty angry at them later on also. Here he only talks about the Kuach Nefesh, but on his deathbed he says, Arar Apam, right? He gives him very strong, he was very strong criticism for what they did, and it curses their anger. Shad is, he's telling them that this was a very serious infringement of what should have been done. You could have been Mekayim the Halacha this way, and the fact that you have this instinct and need to take the full measure of killing somebody when you can do less, not that you're not mekayim the mitzvah less, but you have a, you have an alternative. You won't do the mitzvah, but you have an alternative that you won't be doing anything wrong. And meanwhile, we'll be able to live a much more comfortable and secure life. It must be that you have some instinct in you to go for the jugular when you don't have to go. It's almost yochel atzil, but you shouldn't. That's chayas asod. Chazal now is bothered with a very simple kasha. How does it come that somebody like Shechem can actually think that a girl like Dina, we now realizes is Mishich Molamayla, he himself realizes she's spectacular in everything. And he, in fact, he sells her which he knows she'll believe, that I'm bezeichet to be a fly on your nose. How did he think she's going to want to marry him? That's the Chazal's kasha. Chazal's kasha is mi garm. What caused this? How could, the whole story only works if he can convince and delude himself that she's going to want him. Right? Meanwhile, his all great prestations of love are not really there yet. I mean, what the Torah says, that's the narrator talking. That's the father talking. Mehechitesha, she'll want him. What caused this? Vateitse Dina Basleya, she went out to see the girls in the city. She had an affinity for the culture. She understood and appreciated the culture of Canaan. That's what the Torah's made. That she actually went out, you know, going out to see, like by Lot, means the wife of Lot, you feel connected to the thing. She felt some form of connection. So even though she's spectacular, but she has within her some sense connection to Canaan. Afterwards, in Parshas Vayigash, she's called HaKenanis. That's her name in the Torah. Shol ben HaKenanis, she's called Kenanis. So that means that there was some, that's why. Me garm this, the whole thing is that he could imagine and delude himself, you know, like the Masilas Yesharim's famous Moshel. Moshel to a Ben Kfar who was going to marry the Bas Melech. That nobody has. That's a delusion people have. Nobody thinks of that. No villager thinks he's going to marry the princess. That's delusional. That's Chazal's kind. The answer is, since she went out, therefore she, and it was true, she had an inclination, she had some real feeling of being connected. Right, so the main, Vor was saying, like, they're trying to take care of all the psukim too. I mean, now there's almost nothing that's extra in the Torah. What he said to each, they said to each other, and what they said to the people in the city, it's to give us an understanding that a relationship was created, and that he thought he could have a relationship with her is beyond belief, but he went out. That's where he caught her. That's where he saw her. He saw her in Tate Sedina. He saw her being involved and soaking in the culture of the Benos HaKenan. That's where he found her. And then he got into discussions with her. I guess it was also a little licensed him, too. He has an interest in culture. I mean, let's talk. Then he finds out she's incredible. Everything he said about her was true, and it's a bit. But his whole motivation, everything he said was true. But it was with the idea that eventually he would be able to control her. And the whole idea of the Geirus was not a real Geirus, it was the opposite of Geirus. And therefore the Din Ben Noach remains, it's not Ishtani Dina. Because it's only Ishtani Dina when a person wants to join the Jewish people. If the person wants to absorb the Jewish people, that's not Geirus at all. And that the reaction of Shimon and Levi, with Yaakovina saying that there is no right and no reason to kill somebody when there's so many possible problems that could come from this, all you have to do is do enough that'll make a statement that it's anti-Torah or anti the seven Ahuchai laws to do this, and we punish the people over there. And that would be sufficient that you would not be over dinim b'shev al tasa. You didn't violate it. All you did is the failure to do. Failure to do, there's many, many heterim for that. In fact, I was thinking, maybe that's why Adam Rishon didn't kill Cain. The din to kill a Zion mitzvah is dayan echad. There's an obligation. Why are we holding the people of Shechem more responsible? We hold Adam Rishon. He didn't kill Cain. Teretz says because the only reason that you have to kill him is because otherwise it's a license, it's okay. As long as he's going around with a mark on his head from God, you don't got to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. Why didn't Noah kill Chum? That's also a capital offense. Even Chavola, no matter how you learn, the act of Chavola, the act of wounding, doing a bodily harm to another Gentile is a capital crime. Why didn't he kill him? He's not mechuyev in the Zion mitzvah, so we have tzaddikim, we have shame. You have big tzaddikim there. What's the pshat? The Chum, the Teretz is, he cursed them. That may be enough too. That could also be enough. In other words, as long as there's a reaction that this is not tolerable. And by the way, everybody knows that the curse lasted a lot longer than the beating that he would have done tonight. He could have beaten Chum, but that would have lasted a lot longer. You know, he obviously needed to keep him around too, for Qumol, okay. But still, he's mechuyev to do it. But he has a way not to be, he has a way not to violate the Zion mitzvahs by giving a punishment. You don't have to carry out the law as long as you make a statement and make a clear thing that this is not a license, or not doing something is not a license to continue, which is violating the whole tenor of law and order, and you do a strong reaction, you haven't violated. Then you're just dealing with the mitzvah to do, so that can have a lot of different...
He didn't have to kill him.
Same thing. Yeah. On Tzad, that he was really this. The brother said he deserves to die. Yeah. The Noahide laws. And he needs a justification for this. As long as he's making a statement, he doesn't have to kill him. Good Shabbos.